Lord, we thank you and we bless you just one more time, Lord. We want to communicate with you through prayer, Lord. Your word says to pray without ceasing. God, we love talking to you and hearing from you. And thank you, Lord, for our mothers once again, Lord. Such a blessing that they are, Lord. And pray for those whose mom has transitioned, Lord, and comfort their hearts, strengthen their hearts, and let them remember the blessed memories with their mom, Lord. So pray that you're comforting and strengthening hearts, Lord, wherever we are. Meet us right at our point of need as only you can. We thank you for your word, Lord. Bless your word. Thank you that it illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, decaying world. We love you for your word, Lord. We don't have to guess on how to live or how to give or how to think or how to act or how to love or how to forgive, Lord. It's all written in your word. Thank you for making it plain, Lord. Speak to our hearts now, Lord, not just to our ears, but give us discernment and speak to our hearts that we will internalize it and then live it, Lord, and apply it. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear and to live your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, family, as you know, with me and my study habits, I'm all over the place. So much going on in this chapter, and so I'm going to try and keep it together and just try and stay on track. Amen? Amen. So let's pick it up at verse 1. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So we have the prophet Elijah. He's talking to Ahab. And check out what Ahab was about. Look at 16 and 33. Who's with me this morning? Dominic, show us 16 and 33. 1 Kings 16 and 33. I'm sorry. Let's see. Is that the one I want? Yes, yes. 1 Kings 16 and 33, it says, and Ahab made a grove, which is a wooden image, a false idol, a false god. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Ahab was out of control. He was a wicked king. It said he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And there were some jacked up kings before him, but he topped them all. So it's nothing new to have wicked people in office, if that's what you see. It's never about them. It's always about you and I and how we live before God. But in verse 1, 17, 1, we pick up the story and God sends Elijah to tell Ahab, there's going to be no water. You're going to be in a drought. And we know that drought lasted 3.5 years. So look at verse 2 and more. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. Verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the raven to feed you there. Underline there. So he tells the man of God, there's a drought coming. You go to the brook, which is a narrow stream of water, Cherith, in the valley. You know, understand, this is the man of God. He said, you're going to drink from the brook, and the ravens are going to feed you there. Okay, I was hoping I could get $25 million for my jet fuel. All right? But God says, no, you go live by the brook in the valley, and you stay there, and that's how you're going to get fed. Not a house, not a car. You're the man of God. You're the woman of God. And you find yourself in a place called there, and all you have is a valley, a stream of water, and being fed by a raven. And that's where God told you to go. So the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning, let's read a little bit more. Verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Underline that, he went and he did, that's obedience. Because he could have said, God, I'm the man of God, I'm going to do something else. Family, I can't tell you how important it is that you stay dialed into God so you can hear the voice of God. So when God tells you to do something crazy like this, you know that it's coming from God. If you're not praying, if you're not staying close to God, you're just out there, what are you leading your life according to? And please don't tell me your feelings and your emotions. You can't lead your life based on your feelings and your emotions. You just can't do it. That's why we're praying and we're fasting every morning. God, show me where you want me to be. He's being fed by a raven. If you look up a raven is a very intelligent bird. But ravens, they get their food from dead carcasses and dead humans, our dead flesh. That's a problem for me. With my OCD, I'd be, God, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to be fed by that. But verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherish that is before Jordan. Verse 6. Oh, make a note. Where it says? Verse 4. God says, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Did you underline there? And you understand that God can command a raven. He's going to command a widow. God can command whatever he wants to provide for us. Verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Somebody say amen. Amen. Might not be your gourmet meal, but it's what God is providing right now. Somebody says amen. Verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Elijah was at the brook for about a year and a half. He went to hide by this brook in the middle of the drought. He's there for about a year and a half. And it came to pass, verse 7, speaks of timing. So make a note, this is speaking of timing. How long will God have you and I where we are? I don't know. But it's going to come to pass after a while. The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise. He said, get up, stand up, get to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Underline there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. All right, so write this down. Here's the line. What do you do when your brook dries up and you find yourself in a place called there? What do you do when your brook dries up and you're walking with God, when you're doing all the things that God calls you to do and tells you to do, and your brook dries up and then you find yourself in a place called there? Make a note, Elijah is doing exactly what God told him to do. We see the hand of God on Elijah's life. He tells him to go. The ravens are going to feed you. Now it dries up. And now he tells him, go. There's a woman, a widow woman. Not only that, she's identified by her condition. She has a son. She's a mother. Happy Mother's Day. But she is a widow, which means her husband at some point, it doesn't say how long, when, how, what happened, but he's gone. He's transitioned and she's there. Make a note. God will, you can't put people down. You can't identify someone by their condition. You never know how God is going to provide for you and I. You just, it was a raven. Now it's a widow woman. Make a note, we see the hand of God is on Elijah's life. As you're looking at this, you see the hand of God is on Elijah's life from start to finish. I have a couple of read this, so I'm going to try and read some of my notes. It says, we can't live our lives according to our feelings. We can't love others according to our feelings either. Somebody say amen. Because sometimes you feel like you want to love them. Other times you can't live your life like that. You can't love someone like that. The most important thing is for us to stay connected to God in the midst of a feast, in the midst of a famine, or the midst of a drought. Let me say that again. Whether you're feasting, or you're at the famine, or you're in the drought, you got to stay connected to God. Whether you're a mother or not, you will find yourself in a place called there. There is a place of trust or a place of fear. Obedience or disobedience, love or hate, truth or lie, forgiving or not forgiving, peace or confusion, joy or anxiety, discipline or laziness, gentleness or harshness, depression or determination. Yes, you and I will find ourselves at a fork in the road, and that place is called there. Yes, keep living and you will find yourself in a place called there. Make a note, it's your choice of how you live when you find your place, find yourself in a place called there. It's about faith and trust when your brook dries up. It's about faith and trust when your brook dries up. It's knowing that the hand of God is leading you where you are. It's knowing that the hand of God is leading you when you have nothing else. Let me say that again. It's knowing that the hand of God is leading you when you have nothing else. Also make a note that God speaks whether the brook are flowing, whether the brook is flowing or whether the brook is dried up. God is speaking when the brook is flowing or when the brook dries up. No one said this journey of faith would be easy. Amen. And we must trust the providence of God for our daily bread. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And I did write down, what does that Zarephath mean? It means, it's a city. It means he went to a place, it's a city which means refinement, improvement, and purification. So God sends him to a place of refinement, of improvement, and purification. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, underlying there, because it is a place called there. She's gone there, he's gone there, they meet there, God has sent them both to a place called there. One is bringing life, one is bringing death to the place called there. It's your choice what you bring to your place called there, but you do have a choice. Verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, hey, hold up, bring me, I'm praying thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. Verse 12, and she says, wait a minute, Buster, hold up. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Somebody make a note that God lives. She recognized that God is living. I have not a cake. I only got a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a little jar. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks. Come on now. That I might go in, prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die, because we are in a drought and I'm at a place called there. One is bringing life. One is bringing death. She said, all I got is a little bit, Buster. You talking about get me something for you? She said, all I got is enough for me and my son. We've been in this drought. It's been a year and a half. I'm at this place called there. And this is our last meal. You talk about a last supper. She said, we're just going to eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, don't be afraid. Somebody underline that. Fear not. Same thing Jesus told them last week when they were, when the ship, Jesus said, why are you so afraid? Family, just make a note. Either we trust God or we don't. Either we trust God or we don't. But don't be. It's not when we trust God, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's really nothing to be afraid of. She tells him. She says, "Well, make a note in verse 10. Obedience leads you and I to the place of providence." And provision and ministry, as we see for Elijah. Obedience leads you to a place of providence, provision, and ministry. And look how where God sends Elijah to interrupt this mother's life. God wants to send you to someone to interrupt their life when they're preparing for death and to bring them life and that more abundantly. She says, wait a minute, I'm paraphrasing. You have interrupted my day and my life. My husband has died. There is no food, no more food and water. My son and I are going to eat this last meal and we are going to die. Mothers, speaking to the mothers now, allow the grace, wisdom, and the word of God to interrupt your plans. When you find yourself in a place called there, let me say it again, mothers. Allow the grace, wisdom, and the word of God to interrupt your plans when you find yourself in a place called there. The widow's place of there is where everything has died or is going to die. What do you do when your spouse dies, when your finances dies, when your relationship, your health, your mind, your marriage, your relationship with your siblings, your relationship with your children, your dreams, your business, your ministry, your family dies, and it leads you in a place called there? What do you do? We have two different people meeting at a place called there. Two totally different people. Maybe let's even say three because the son is there too. Both sent by God to meet at a place called there. One bringing life, one bringing death. One focusing on living and the other focusing on dying. Both sent by God. Before today is complete, you're going to meet someone who is in a place called there. Either you will bring life to that situation or you will bring death to that situation. And we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Take Jesus with you when you go to the place called there. There can be a place of life or death depending on your connection to God. God provided throughout the drought. The drought, he's going to stay with them. We're going to find out Elijah's going to stay with them for 2 years. A year and a half at the brook, 2 years with the widow and her son. Sometimes when you're in a place called there, you feel as if there is no hope and you're going to die. It's all there's left to do. Is eat your last meal and die. But God says not so. God is sending his messenger to interrupt your pity party and your last supper to inject life, hope into your life and situation. Somebody say amen. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Elijah says in verse 13, Elijah said unto her, don't be afraid. And do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first. Man, you got to be kidding me. I just told you, this is all I got. I'm going to prepare it for me and my son. We're going to eat it and die. And then you come and say, don't be afraid and make me some first. And she told him she didn't have enough for a cake. She said, all I got is a little morsel in my hand. He's still talking this cake stuff. But make me a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and your son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. It shall not, that word waste in the Hebrew means it shall not end. And the cruse of oil shall not fail, which means it will not run out until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. I don't either you trust God or you don't. It comes down to it. I guess in our terms, it's like our giving, our tithes and our offering, where God says, bring your tithe first. And then you take care of what you need to take care of. That's what God says. And you can say you love God all you want to, but remember, it's an abnormal relationship where you say, God, I love you. And then when it's time to give, you say, but I don't trust you. The men tried that the other week. We're going to go home and let's do it again tonight. We're going, honey, you know what? Tell your wives, the married men, happy Mother's. First, tell her happy Mother's Day. And then tell her, I love you, but I don't trust you. And then next week, tell me how that goes. Let me know how that goes, Bernie. All right. And see, then we come here and we do it to God, and it's like it's all good. God says, give me mine. God says, I can do more with that 10 than you could ever do with the 90. I can do more with the 10% than you could ever do with it. You're working too hard. You're stressing out too much. Go and make mine first and then watch me work. It's right here. All right. So I got to go a little deep. Can I go deep? All right. So we're going deep on Mother's Day. Happy Mother. Let me say Happy Mother's Day. So this is based on verse 13. And I wrote this down, and this is God saying to all of us right now. He says, don't be afraid to live while you're waiting to die. This lady, she was so afraid. And he told her, stop stressing out. You're connected to God. God is speaking to you. So let me say it again. Don't be afraid to live while you're waiting to die, because bottom line, we're all waiting to die. From the minute a baby's born, they're talking about he's growing up, but no, he's counting down. The clock starts ticking down to the minute to that baby transitions. So don't be afraid to live while you're waiting to die. And then people say, well, I'm afraid to die because I don't know what happens. Well, that's the world. That's not Christians, because we do know what happens. Jesus resurrected and told us how to get to heaven and told us what it's like. Either you trust him or you don't. He told the thief on the cross, today you're going to be with me in paradise. You had the beggar Lazarus and the rich ruler. One died, went to heaven. One died, went to hell. He told us the whole story. We do know what happens. The word tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're going to read in just a minute how this young child, he died. Elijah resurrected him. But think about this. At some point, he had to die again. When Jesus resurrected Lazarus, they were so crazy then. The Pharisees wanted to kill him again because everybody started believing in Jesus. But eventually, Lazarus had to die again. So don't be afraid to live while you and I are waiting to die. Walk with God each and every step of the way. So this is what it does. With this in mind, keeps me humble because I know that I'm just here for a short while. It keeps me thankful. It keeps me grateful, appreciative. It keeps me loving and forgiving and thankful for the grace of God. It keeps me living, and it keeps me living right and lets me know I have no time to waste. Don't be afraid to live while you're waiting to die, because we're all in the same boat. Leave the details to God. You live this thing. You enjoy the abundant life that God has given you and I. When we get to our place called there, verse 14, for thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not end, neither shall the cruse of oil stop until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Somebody say amen. That's what you call walking by faith. You don't know who God has already sent to the place called there to provide for you. You can't discount it. That old woman, what could she do for me? You never know who God has sent to provide for you. Be a blessing to whoever you can. Verse 15, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. It never stopped. Obedience leads to life. Allow those that God has sent to your place called there provide and be blessed, to provide and be blessed by God. Obedience to the word of God and the voice of God will increase your days. Allow God to increase your day when you're at your place called there. God will never waste your life or fail you. Somebody say amen. Amen. In verse 16, that's what it says. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, underline Lord, and that means Jehovah in the Hebrew translation, that's Jehovah, the existing one. There's someone who's always existing, who never sleeps, never slumber, who sees everything, who knows everything, is everywhere all at the same time. That's the Lord Jehovah. He's called the existing one, which he spake by Elijah. God will never waste your life or fail you. Obedience to God is never a waste of time. God will never fail you, and that's according to Jehovah, the existing one. Now we get to verse 17, and I'll start wrapping this up. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him, and he died. Gosh, come on, man. Verse 18, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with you, with thee, O thou man of God? With a question mark, are you really a man of God? What do I have to... Aren't you come unto to call my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? Did you just come here to clown me, to play with me, and then kill my son? Are you really a man of God? So here's a question. And as I'm studying this, you know, I'm going up and down. My emotions are all over the place. What do you do when you have been obedient and it... In this case, it was her son. But what do you do when you've been obedient? You've done everything that God said. You trusted God. You walk with God. And it dies in a place called there. When you're in your place called there, you do everything and it dies. When it seems that God is playing a cruel game with your life. Right when it gets better, then it gets worse than it's ever been. What do you do? Your life feels like a stage play and you have no idea how it's going to end, how it got to this point and how it's going to end. So ask yourself this question. Why would God do this to you after you've been obedient and followed his word? Make a note, family. Life still happens. Make a note, family. Life still happens when you've been obedient and done all the right things. Somebody make a note of that. We live in a fallen, broken, dark world, and things happen. Life still happens when you've done all the right things. Life still happens when you've done all the right things. Life still happens when you've done all the wrong things. Life still happens. And God is still good. And God is still great. And God still knows it all. And we still need to trust him and let him work out the details. Some things is not our call. He said unto her, verse 19, give me your son. She could have said, no, man, you've done enough. Amen. Am I supposed to trust you now with my son after all this? Okay, listen, mothers, because you all know, I know as a father how when our kids were small, we really didn't trust nobody with our kids except for family and family's here, so we can't say this. And not even them, but we didn't really trust our kids with nobody. Hey, and our mom had taught us we didn't play that. We couldn't spend a night at nobody's house. That didn't happen. Okay, Lavelle, who's anybody? Nobody. We didn't. Hey, mom, our friends are having that. And it ain't even happening. We ain't go to nobody's house. Spend the night. Mama didn't play that, and Dad didn't play it either. No, I didn't. Son, just go to your room. It's eight of y'all. Y'all find something to do, okay? It's eight of y'all. Y'all need to go nowhere. Go find something to do. Don't make too much noise. All right. It's hard. It's hard to let go at any age. But God is telling some mothers right now and some grandmothers and even some fathers, give me your son, give me your daughter. Let me take care. Stop stressing yourself out. Give them to me. Trust me with them. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord. Now, this is what you do. This is what we do as parents. We cry unto the Lord and said, Lord, God, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought adversity, not evil, that word translates adversity, upon this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son. So you give your son to God and then you pray for that son. You pray for that daughter. You pray for that granddaughter, that grandson. He stretched himself upon the child three times. You pray three times. That's morning, noon, and night. That's every day, all the time. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then you cry unto God. Say, oh, Lord, my God, I pray thee, let my child's soul come unto him again. You pray for your child's soul. That's the part. If you're looking to know what a soul is, the soul is the part that doesn't dissolve upon death. The body goes to the ground. The soul goes to the Lord. That's what you pray for, Lord, that their soul would be saved. Yes. Give them to God and pray for that soul. Verse 22, make a note that God responds. Not only does God hear, but he responds. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah and the soul of the child came into him again and he revived. Make a note. God hears and God responds. God wants you to know that he can breathe life into your dead situation in a place called there. Come on, amen. Mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, God wants you to know that he can breathe life into your dead situation in your place called there. See your situation. Your situation can live again. Your hopes can live again. Your dreams can live again. Your life, your marriage can live again. Your kids, your business, your job, your health, your ministry, your church can live again. Your it can live again. In the place called there, after it looks like it's dead, it can live again. You can live again. Even in a place called there. Pray for that child's soul, because that's the most precious thing we have, not stuff. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. Listen to this. And Elijah said, see, it can live again. See, it can live again. Your dreams, their hopes, it can live again. See what God can do? It can live again. Amen. Give it to God. Your marriage can live again. It's not dead. Your hopes, your future, it lives, even in the place called there. After it looks like it has died, God says, can live again. The woman said to Elijah, as if it took any more convincing, now by this I know that you are a man of God. And that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Somebody get that today. That this word is the word of God and it's truth. Don't let people tell you that God is obsolete and this has been translated and all. Get away from that foolishness. Now by this I know. You are a man of God, at the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. I'm going to end with this. Turn to Jeremiah. Make a note, too, that the truth of God's word supersedes and overrides your place called there. Wherever you are, the word of God supersedes that. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what your job has said, the business has said, the doctors have said. I don't care what it looks like. The word of God supersedes your place called there. Don't care what it looks like. God said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to live. Why all of us are waiting to die. That's all we're doing. Are waiting for the Lord to come back. We hope it's later than sooner. We hope the Lord come back tonight, but we hope we transition a lot later than sooner. Somebody say amen. But that's all of us. Is that the Lord calling now? My time is up. So Lord said, okay, all right, Lord, time. Okay, I'll do this last scripture, Lord, then I'll finish it up. All right. Did I say Jeremiah? Did I say Jeremiah? Yes. Which one did I say?
You didn't say.
18.
You didn't say.
All right. I got to get y'all, you know, make sure y'all still paying attention. Now, what did I say I wanted to read on this? 4-6. Oh, boy. All right. I need to wrap this up. Okay. This is the Lord talking to Jeremiah, and he says, arise and go. Verse 2, let's start at verse 1. Verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you still send your word, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was working a work on the wheels. Verse 4 is where I want to go. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred, which means it was ruined and it was injured in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Hear what the word of God is saying. The first one was injured, marred, messed up. It was a disaster. So he started over and made it again, and it was good. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, and we can substitute, in our place called there, can I not do with you as this potter, said the Lord. Can I start over with you again? Can I give you a reset? Mothers, can I give you a reset for that relationship with your sons, with your daughters? Men, can I give you a reset with that relationship with your wife? Can I work on you again? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, even in your place called there. That's what God wants to know. Will you allow God to work on the disastrous parts, the injured parts, the ruined parts? Will you give that to God? So he can start over again. And that's where I want to stop. And I want to pray for, I want to call you to the altar. Anyone who wants to come up, and you're in your place called there. You're in your place called there, and all you want to do is just have a little meal and die. God is saying, can I start over? Is anyone who want to come up for prayer? I'd love to pray for you. Just spend a few minutes. Right here, Brother Stan. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a second chance. Thank you, Lord, in our place called there. We've just been in a place we don't know what's going on, and kind of waiting to just have that last meal and just check out with no purpose, no direction. But God, then you sent your messenger just to let us know. It's a place of life. It's not a place of death. It's a place where you can live again. And not only live, but have life more abundantly. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you that you're saying to us this morning, see, it's still plenty of life left. Will you allow me to be the potter and you be the clay? Let me give you a reset and a do-over. Whole renovation to make you the man, make you the woman that I've created you to be, to work for me. And even when things die, just know that there's life right in the midst of them. And God is still good, and God is still great. And God loves us, and God cares for us, and we live in a fallen world, and sometimes life happens even when we're doing all the right things. So we thank you, Lord, that your word says that we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pray for my two brothers here. Thank you for the life you've given them. Thank you for the life that's ahead of them. Bless their life now. As they trust you like never before, they lean on you like never before. They allow Christ to rule and reign in their heart. They read that word, study that word, and draw close to God like never before. And we thank you, Lord, just like we're praying and touching and covering them now, we'll continue to pray and cover our brothers here. We love you, Lord. Thank you for new life. Thank you that you made us all new creatures in you. And thank you that you've given us a second chance, Lord. So many chances, Lord, to get it right. That's your mercy and your grace, and we receive it today. Thank you on Mother's Day that you've touched the heart of these men. God, that's how great and good you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.